Amen. If you have the Bible, turn to the book of Judges, chapter 17. Judges, chapter 17. If you have an old Schofield, it's page 307. Amen. We'll be going again reading this morning at verse 1. And the Bible says, "And there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursest and spakest of also in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image, and they were in the house of Micah. And the man Micah had a house of gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he called it, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, Which comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, Dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, Now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. I want to preach a little while this morning, if God will be my help, on some things that are messed up. On some things that are messed up. As we look at this scripture here, the Bible gives us this account in Judges. And he's talking about in the book of Judges how all the things have transpired for that little nation of Israel, God's chosen people. And how they've come through, and how God's delivered, how God has sent people and men and put people in places to help them along the way. But we see in this particular chapter here in the life of Micah. Now, Micah literally means who is like Jehovah. Amen? Who is like God. So we see this man from the Mount Ephraim, which is the tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes, amen, that were supposed to be lost, but God knows where they're at. And we see this man Micah and we see the life that he lives, and we come into the story in his life that's so prevalent even today. We see this life at where Micah has a mother, and apparently she's living with him. It doesn't say, we assume maybe he had a wife, but it doesn't say nothing about a wife. But we know that he has a mother, and that mother had 1,100 pieces of silver, and somehow or another they got gone. And the Bible said that she realized that her silver was gone, and she cursed those that had stole her silver. She sent out a curse and said, Cursed be those that took my money, that took my silver. And Micah was there, and he heard her curse, and he responded to that curse, and he says, Hey, listen. He said, I heard you. He said, In my ear, in my hearing, he said, I heard you curse the person. He said, I just got to admit something to you. He said, Behold, the silver is with me. And I can just imagine my mind as Mama looked at him. She said, Say what? And he said, and then he admits, he said, I took it. Amen. You talk about a messed up family. We have a messed up family. I talk about some things that's messed up in the world. Hey, we got a lot of messed up families in the world today. Families that need help. Everywhere you look, our families, our homes, our lives have become a mess. But I'm glad there's a God that's able to clean up messes. I'm glad there's a God that's able to move in, amen, when we put our faith and our trust in Him and begin to do things, amen, for the glory of God. But we see this family, as he begins to admit that he had took the silver, the 1,100 pieces of silver, and she said, "You done what?" He said, "It's with me." He said, "I took it." Amen. So we see him as he begins to confess that he took that thing, that he done that, that was wrong. But we have to wonder in our mind, why did he confess? Was it because of a godly sorrow? Or was it a worldly sorrow? Or was he confessing because he got caught? He was confessing because the curse had come up in his ears, and he didn't want that curse to befall him. So he confessed to his sinfulness. Amen. But then his mother comes along and she says, "Well, son," "blessed be thou of the Lord, my son." He said, he said, "Son, it's okay." He said, "You've done it. You've admitted it." He said, "It'll be all right." I wonder how many times we just kind of sweep things under the rug. Amen. I tell you, if we ain't careful, we sweep things under the rug and we just make a bigger mess. You could go to a lot of homes today, praise God, and we've swept stuff under the rug so much, praise God, and our whole house is full of lumps. Amen. There's a whole lot of our house got a lot of lumps because we keep wanting to sweep things under the rug instead of taking it before God, asking God to help us. See, the house is messed up. The home is messed up today, praise God, because we ought to be, instead of sweeping under the rug, we ought to be taking it to God and doing what would be pleasing to the Lord. We've got a God today that wants to help us. But He can't help us till we realize that we're messed up. We need some help today in the day and hour that we live. And his mother goes on, she says, when he had restored the 1,100 pieces of silver to his mother, his mother said, "And I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son." You know what? What I'm seeing in the day and hour we live, I'm seeing mamas and daddies, amen, that's giving their children the inheritance that they have for them. And they're taking that inheritance, they're running away with it, and before you know it, they have nothing to show for it. They just squander it away on riotous living. Amen? They have no respect for mom and daddy. They had no respect for the lives that they lived and the time that they saved, the hard work that they put in, and the next thing you know, they squandered away. But if we ain't very careful, we condone that. We say, "You know what? Well, it's theirs." Amen. I want to say, glory be to God, though it's yours. Amen. We ought to say, "Lord, listen, there's a right way and a wrong way to give glory to God." Amen. We need to stand up. Oh, we've got people today. I had a fellow that I went to school with, and he inherited his parents' farm. They left it with him. And before you know it, wasn't just a few months, he went through almost $1 million. Amen. In property and things that they had left him. He just blowed through it, and now he has nothing. Because things are messed up. We don't have any respect for anything no more. We ought to respect mama. We ought to respect daddy more than that. Amen. We ought to take what they've got, praise God, and build upon it. Instead of tearing down, we ought to build up. But homes are messed up. Homes are messed up because we don't have any sign of a decency. We don't have any sign of moral conduct. Amen. We need a moral conduct. We need a consistency in this thing. She said, "I had wholly dedicated silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee." So she said, "Yes," and I dedicated that money to my son, and what I want to do with it, I want to make a graven image, a molten image. Amen. What mama's doing, saying, "You know what? It's okay to hack away at those Ten Commandments. They don't really mean what they used to mean." Amen? If we ain't careful, we'll begin to hack away at them. And glory be to God. And instead of giving God glory, say, "You know what? God said it and He still means it." Amen? But I won't say there's some things messed up today when we start saying, "Let's take them down. Let's get rid of them." Amen? Because the foundation is coming apart. Psalms 11 and 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Amen. The foundation is being destroyed. Amen. Things are getting messed up because the foundation's not right. But I'm glad there's still a solid foundation in Christ Jesus our Savior. There was an old preacher said one time years ago when the government started taking the Bibles out of the school. And they asked him something about it. He said, what do you think about that? The government saying you've got to take the Bible out of the school. He said, don't worry about it. He said, they'll get them back. He said, get them back. He said, yeah. I said, the Gideons will give them one down there at the prison house. Amen. I'm telling you what, things is messed up, amen. Where the Bible ought to be welcomed down to the house of God and at schoolhouse and at your house and my house, praise God, it's not welcome no more. But I'm praise God, it's still the Word of God and it still speaks our heart. It still encourages us along the way. Amen. Amen. But I'm afraid we messed up when we get rid of the Word of God. Amen. They say, well, preacher, we love the Word of God. But we're kind of like Ezekiel 36 saying, yeah, preacher, we love the Word of God. We're hearing it. We receive it. We know, praise God, it's straight from its oracles of the Lord. Just come from the mouth of God. Amen. But before he got a verse, they said, but we'll not do it. Amen. Things are messed up. God tells us how to live, how to act, but we just say we won't do it. And so we've got messed up families. The Bible says in verse 4, he says, yeah, he restored the money unto his mother. And his mother took... Now, wait a minute. Now, watch this. His mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder. That's the man that does the work. Who made thereof a graven image and molded image. They were in the house of Micah. Now, she said this 1,100 shekels, said, that's for my son. But praise God, when he gave it back, she just took 200 of it. Amen? And she made these molten images. So what she was doing, she was lying the whole time. Amen. She was trying to cover it up. She was trying to make her home look like it was all that. I wonder how many times we'll lie and cheat and steal to make our homes look like all that when we need to be crying out to God and say, Lord God, we're all messed up. We need some help, praise the Lord. Amen. Expecting God till He comes. Praise God. But then the Bible said that old Micah, Micah had a house of gods. And made an effort and teraphim and consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. How messed up's that? He consecrated one of his sons. Now the Bible tells us in Numbers chapter 3, I think it's verse 10, he said that there's none other priest but Aaron and the family in the line of Aaron. Amen. Even the he said if anybody else comes up and tries to be priest, he said they're to be killed. He said it's not to be stood for. Amen. So we see Micah and his mother taking the Ten Commandments and they shred them all to pieces. And before it's all said and done, he breaks 7 of the Ten Commandments and never leaves the house. Hello? I wonder how many times we break the Ten Commandments right in the house. Amen. Right there in the place that we call home. And we take them, if we ain't careful, we shred them and we cut them to pieces. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he made his own son his priest. And he said, in those days, you say, why is all this taking place? He said, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Amen. You know what? They'd done kicked God out. Kind of like America, when we kicked out His Word, praise God, we sent Him off with it. We've got a whole groups of people in our society that said, we don't want nothing to do with God. Want Him removed from everything. Don't want people to think that we stand with Him or He stands with us. But I'm glad He's still God. Amen. Whether they want Him or not, glory be to God, I do. Praise His holy name. He said that, but he said, but every man did that which is right in his own eyes. Amen. Praise God. So you see what's happened here. They establishing a place of worship. Amen. But the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy that there's only one place of worship. Amen. The only place of worship. And there was only one place in Israel. And at the time, that was down in Shiloh. But he's trying to establish his own religion. He's trying to establish his own way. If we ain't careful, we're messed up. We'll try to establish our own way. We'll even convince ourselves what's right. Amen. Even though it may be wrong, we'll convince ourselves that we're right. But we see as this begins to play out, we see that this man comes here and there's a young man comes along. So we know we've got a messed up family. Amen? So then we see this young man come along in verse 7. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city of Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim to the house of Micah as he sojourned. Now I want to say this young man was an opportunist. Hello? He was an opportunist. He was a Levite. But he's in Bethlehem, Judah. He's nowhere near the tabernacle. He's nowhere near the place of worship. But he's trying to pretend like he's a man of God. He's trying to pretend that he's in the ministry. And he comes in and he sojourns and he's a looking for a place. I want to say he's a looking for a place for himself. He's looking for a place. It's not because of the will of God. He's looking for a place, praise God, where he can do what he'd like to do. Amen. He's out for what he can gain from it. Amen. I'm afraid there's a lot of people that's in this thing because of what they can get out of it. Amen. We ought to be in it for what we can put into it. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, preacher, I don't get much out of being a Christian because we don't put much into it. Amen. But when we put a whole lot into it, do what God is. Amen. Where we blossom, where we're planted, God begins to bless us. He begins to encourage us and help us, amen, to be a blessing. Amen. Glory. I'm glad when the blesser starts the blessing. Amen. And he begins to pour them out on us. And he begins to help us as only he can. And we see this man, and we see a messed up family, we see a messed up ministry. We see him begin to look for something that he can do. But it's self-will. It's not the will of God. You know, a lot of times we can try to do right, but if we don't do right according to the will of God, it won't be nothing but a mess. There's a lot of people making a mess today when God could use us for his glory. Amen. But we mess up by not following in what he'd have us to do. Amen. He says that the Bible tells us that our body is the temple of God. Amen. We need to worship him in spirit and truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19, the Bible says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Amen. Praise God. So he said, we're built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trusting him. The foundation that we have, amen, is Christ Jesus, our Lord. The foundation that we have is Lord Jesus Christ ministering to our hearts, giving us day by day that we have. And it's not my will, but thine be done. That's what Jesus cried all the time of his ministry. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. She said, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this. I'm not in it for me, praise God. I'm in it for him. I just want to be able to give God all the glory for what he does in my life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of vocation wherein ye are called. I want to say, praise God, I'm glad there's a calling in the Word of God. I'm glad there's a calling in the ministry. I'm glad there's a calling to a place of help where God can use us, each and every one. He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. That's why we do it. That's why we do what we do, praise God, is because of the love of God in our hearts, and we want to be a help to brothers and sisters along the way. We want to see people birthed into the family of God. We want to see them preparing for heaven. Amen. It's just right over yonder, praise the Lord, and our days are few. Amen. But he said, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Our Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen. So we see what God has given us here, praise God. It's a blessing and a hope that we have in Christ Jesus, our Savior, and he calls us into the work. See, there wasn't no calling in this. We had a messed up ministry because he wasn't trusting in the Lord. He was seeking to do something within himself. I'm afraid when we get to trying to do something to ourselves, we make a mess of it. As old fella said one time, it gets me kind of like pushing a rope. You ever try to push a rope? It won't go very far. But praise God, when you get on the other end, you begin to pull it, praise God, you can take it anywhere you want to go. Because it's the right direction that you're having to go. So we see this fella that's caught up in self-will, and he's making a mess of his ministry. And he goes into this man's house, departed from Bethlehem, verse 8, Judea, and sojourned where he could find a place, where he could find a place. Amen. I'm like the old fella. I believe we ought to bloom where we're planted. Amen. I believe we ought to stay where God have us, get where God have us to be till he wants to take us and use us somewhere else. Amen. I'm a firm believer in that. I've never been one that believed that we ought to be church hoppers. I know a lot of folks that just jump from one to the other, praise God, and they do it kind of trying to get where the excitement is or where they're looking for a certain thing, praise God. But I want to say it's our responsibility to get in here, seek the will of God, and find that, praise God, down at our house of God. Amen. A place where we can get help and fed and encouraged and be an encouragement, love on each other. You'll be amazed what a difference it makes when you begin to love. You look upon each other with the heart of love. Amen. You get to looking at them to love them, praise God, and these folks are sitting around you look a whole lot different. Amen. Glory be to God. They'll look different. They'll be brothers and sisters. Encouragement. You say, preacher, me and my brothers and sisters fight like cats and dogs. Amen. We used to too. But I'm glad, praise God, God took the fight out of us. Amen. And my fight's with the devil now. But so we see a family here that's messed up. We see a ministry that's messed up. Amen. He sojourned where he could find a place, and he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah as he sojourned. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I may find a place. Now, if you'll notice this, but this messed up house, Micah's house, praise God, is accepting the things it ought to be accepting to. And he asked this young man, amen, who he was, where he come from, and when he tells him, that ought to set a light off in his head. An alarm bell ought to went off. But Micah said to him, whence cometh thou? And he said, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I go to sojourn where I'm going to find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest. And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and a suit of pearl, and victuals. So the Levite went in. You see what's happened here? Micah compromised the very word of God. He compromised the commandments of God, and he took unto himself and made a priest out of a Levite. A Levite was never meant to be a priest. A Levite was the keeper of the tabernacle. A Levite was the protector of the law, the reader of the law. But the Levite was the one that would take care of the sanctuary. This ought to tell us something. He sunk so low that he comes past just being over the palace, the tabernacle and the place and the furnishings of it, and he wants to become the very priest that ministers before God. That's not his office. But Micah takes him in and he makes him an offer that he can't refuse. In Matthew, I believe it says, he calls that kind of person a hireling. In John 10, he calls that person a hireling. He's in it for the money. He's in it for what he can get. So we see a messed up family and a messed up ministry in this text. They said Levi was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was unto him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levi, and the young man became his priest and was in the house of Micah because of compromise. Then said Micah, now know I that the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. He done broke God's law. He done broke God's commandment. Amen. By putting a man in a place he didn't deserve, wasn't rightful to go. And then he says, well, Lord, why are you not wanting to bless me like you should? Amen. So we see this place, we see a messed up home, a messed up ministry, but we also see a messed up society. In chapter 18, the Bible tells us there's some men that's sent out from the tribe of Dan, and they go up there and they begin to look at spy out their neighbors. And they were looking for some things. In chapter 18, verse 2, and the children of Dan sent out of their family 5 men. Now here's another family that's messed up. The family of Dan. And they go out to spy the land and to search it out. He said, go and search the land who when we came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. And when they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite. Now notice this. They said, hey, listen, that voice sounds familiar. Huh? I wonder how many other places he had been to. How many other places he had wandered into trying to find him a place instead of trusting God to send him. But we see as they go in there and they recognize this voice. And they said, who brought thee hither, and what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And they begin to question him, say, why are you here? I thought I seen you over yonder a while back. He said, yeah, he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am his priest. So right there he confesses, he said, I'm a hireling. Amen. He said, I come over here, he said, and Micah, he's made me an offer that I can't refuse. I want to say, if we ain't very careful, the devil will do the same thing. The devil will make us an offer that we can't refuse. But we better seek God's word and not trust the devil. Amen. But he said, and they said unto him, now I want you to watch this. And they said unto him, ask counsel. Now this is Micah's priest, self-professed. Okay? And so these five fellas say, you know what, we're gonna see if we can get some counsel off of Micah's dime. Micah's paid for this thing, amen. So we'll see if we can get some counsel off Micah's dime. So they asked him, they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. Amen. So they asked him, said, hey, listen, is everything going to go okay for us or not? If you're a priest. And the priest said unto him, go in peace, for the Lord is your way wherein you go. So you know what he does? He didn't have to take time. He didn't have to pray. He didn't counsel with God. He said, yeah, he said, just go ahead, proceed on, press on. He said, it's going to be all right. You know what he is? He's a hireling. He just told them what they wanted to hear. Amen. He just told them what they wanted to hear. He said, oh yeah, I said, things is looking good. Amen. Pray God, just press on the way you're going. Everything's going to be all right. That's a hireling. Amen. I can sit here and tell you that you just press on, everything's going to be all right. But I want to tell you, pray God, there's some things that have come upon her life, in her life, that's not right. There'll be hardships and trials. But pray God, I won't say there's a God that's in glory that's able to help us to persevere and overcome every obstacle we face. Amen. But this old hireling, he said, oh yeah, I'll just press on, praise God. Health and wealth is straight ahead. Amen. That's what he does. That's what a hireling does. It's a messed up ministry. He's speaking to a messed up society. Amen. That's why society is such a mess today. Because they're looking and longing for the truth. But it's hard to find. There's not many places where we still take this old King James Bible and preach the truth. Tell you what, thus says the word of God. The Bible said these men departed, and they came to Laish, and they seen like the people of Laish, and they were living contently in quietness. And he goes on down in verse 9, and they said, arise. They're talking to the people of Dan, and they said, arise, and that we may go up against them, for we have seen that land, and behold, is very good, and are you still? Be not slothful to go and to enter to possess the land. He said, hey, what are you doing still sitting here? He said, praise God. Hey, man, it's open. It's wide open. They're down in peace. They ain't got no protection. So let's go on up in and just take that's there. Can you see how messed up things get? When the home gets messed up, the ministry gets messed up, and society gets messed up, we all begin to go in a messed up direction. We start longing for things that's not ours. We start looking to get stuff, amen, to take something from somebody else. Amen. To quit working to have things, to quit trying to have things. Amen. Just take what you need. Hey, are you seeing a picture? Kind of, brother, looks like society we live in today. People just come along. We was talking about how the government is always just going in and condemning places and just taking them. And they'll offer you a little old chunk of change and say, take it or leave it. And they just take your stuff. Amen. That's what happens when society melts down. You say, well, preacher, it's all for the better good. Amen. I want to say, praise God, they still right and wrong. Amen. If they have to take your stuff, your property for the better good, praise God, then they ought to give you a fair market value. Amen. But they don't do that. They just come in and take your stuff. Why? Because society is messed up. Amen. It's not according to word. In the Word of God, every time somebody got a possession, amen, they paid for it. Fair value. It was weighed out on the scales. Amen. Praise the Lord. But they said, hey, what are you waiting on? So let's go up and get it. That's what a messed up society does. So let's just go up and take it. Don't belong to you. That's all right. We'll go get it. The Bible says, and when they and when you go, you shall come to a people secure into a large land, for God hath given it into your hand, a place where there is no want of anything that is in the earth. Amen. Said, man, that place got everything. Amen. Over where we've been camping out, we don't have all that luxury. We don't have all that stuff. So we're just going to go up there and we're going to take what they've got. That sound familiar? Amen. Society is messed up. So we see that the Bible goes on in verse 14. It said, then they answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Laish and said unto their brethren, now they went up to Micah's. They pulled up to Micah's house. And he said, do you know that there is in this house, in these houses, an ephod and a teraphim and a graven image and a molten image? Now watch this. He said, now therefore consider what you have to do. So they put it, these five men put it in the camp of Dan's pot, they put it in their lap. He said, what are you going to do now? Said, we brought you up here, we told you what it is. What are you going to do now? They had the opportunity to say, you know what? That's wrong. It's messed up. Praise God, there's one God and Him only will we serve. But they said, okay. He said, if He's got a God and images, amen, and a priest and all that stuff, praise God, maybe we need that too. Amen. But He said, and they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed with their weapons of war, which were of the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. Now you can see this. Now, Micah's Levi, he don't have much choice. Because them four or five guys come up there and you got 600 sitting out there at the gate. Amen. But this Levite asked him a question. Said, the five men that went to spy out the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and teraphim and the molten image. And the priest stood in the entrance of the gate, and the 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod and the teraphim and molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? Amen. Amen. After they had come in, he said, what are you doing? He said, why are you here? And he didn't say it till they went in and they began to take the gods. They went and they began to take the things that's there. Hey man, we better stop the devil at the door. We better confront the devil when he comes to our house. We better stand up and say, you know what? I need to know why you're here. And if you're not here for legitimate reasons, amen, then you've got to hit the road. Somebody comes to my door trying to pass me out some kind of papers. I'm going to tell them, no thank you. And you take your propaganda and you go down the road. You say, well, preacher, I always take one of their little old papers. I say they'll go away and leave me alone. I know if you take their little old paper, then they've done what they come for. Amen. We need to turn away their papers. We need to turn away their propaganda and say, know what? You're a false witness. Go on down the road. Amen. Praise God. We can't be caught up in this stuff. But we see a false ministry. And they went and verse 20 and said the priest heard of and they asked this priest, they said, listen, in verse 19, they said, hey, he said, hold thy peace. He said, just be quiet, lay thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us. So they make him an offer that he can't refuse. Amen. And he said, and be with us, be to us a father and a priest. It is better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man. Is it better, or to be that or that thou be a priest unto a tribe and a family of Israel. So they give him a scenario. He said, you want to be a priest to one man, or you want to be a priest to a whole tribe? And it's an offer that he can't refuse. And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, and he took the teraphim, and the graven image, and he went in the midst of the people. Can you see him? I mean, greed sets in. The hirelingness of this man sets in. And he said, he reaches and grabs all those images of silver. He pulls all that mess unto himself. And he says, come on, fellas, let's go. Amen. If we ain't careful, we'll get a hold of the things and praise God of this world, a society that's messed up. And we'll say, come on, let's go. But I'm glad, praise God, I can put up a resistance and the devil flee. Praise the Lord. Amen. We see a messed up family, messed up ministry, and a messed up society. The Bible goes on and says that, and when they were a good way off from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near to Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And Micah goes and gets his neighbors. He says, hey, they come and they stole my gods. Stole my priests. Took them away. So they chase them down. Of course, these folks here, the people of Dan, they've got all their stuff together, and apparently got their little ones ahead of the carriage, got their graven images and their cattle, and they're marching on. Micah overtakes them, and they cried unto the children of Israel, and they turned their face and said unto Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? Now, can you see this? Micah chases them down. He runs them down. And he said, ye have taken away my gods, which I made. How pitiful. My gods, which I made. If my God was small enough for me to make, he wouldn't be big enough to be my God. Amen. He said, and the priest, and ye have gone away, and what have I more? He said, you took everything I had. God help. I'd hate to say that he took some images, took them away, that he had taken away my gods. Amen. My gods are bigger than those gods. My God's a big G God, and he lives in heaven, and he reigns forevermore. But he said, you've taken away everything I had. And what is this that ye say unto me? What else? You say, why are you, what do you mean? What's else? What's wrong with me? Said, you've took away everything I hold dear. Why? Because he had a messed up family. Because he's had a messed up minister. And he had a messed up, he was living in a messed up society. The children then said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, lest anger fell us, run upon thee, and thou lose thy life with the lives of thy household. Now notice what happens here. He said, you better get on back down the road, buddy, while you still can. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back into the house. And they took the things which Micah had made, and the priests which he had, and they came to Laish unto the people that were at quiet and secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. You see, when you got a messed up family, you got a messed up ministry, you got a messed up society, you got a messed up world. I mean, you get a people that have no compassion. They have no compassion. They have no compassion for people. They just went down there Achish, and they peaceful people living in peace, living in harmony. And they went in at the edge of the sword, just slew every one of them. Burned their houses. They had no compassion for people. And they had no compassion for families. They had no compassion for the community. They had no compassion for society. See, that little old village was a part of society. But they had no compassion. They had no respect. Why? Because it was a messed up society that they had. Amen. He said, there was no one delivered because it was far from Zidon. They had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Beth Rehob. And they built a city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan, after the name of Dan, their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit, the name of the city was Laish at the first. And now watch this. And the children of Dan set up the graven image. And guess who was the priest? Jonathan. Amen. The little Levite priest, who was no priest at all. The son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh. He and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan unto the day of the captivity of the land. You know what? You know what having messed up family, you know what having messed up ministry, you know what having a messed up society does? It leads us into captivity. It leads us into captivity of the devil and the wicked desires of our hearts, our flesh. Amen. And they set them up Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house... Now watch the Holy Spirit. If the house of God was in Shiloh, they said they was a real place of worship. They was a real priest at the house of God. But they chose, because they were messed up, they chose to make their own gods and do things their own way. I want to say, there's some things that's messed up. There's some things that's messed up in our families. There's some things that's messed up in our ministries, what we do for the Lord. And there's some things that's messed up in our society. You say, well, preacher, what do we do about it? We begin to make a difference one person at a time. Amen. Because there's a lot of things that's messed up. There's a lot of things that's being swept under the rug. But that, praise God, there's a God of heaven who ministers to His people to help us along the way. I want to say today, every one of us, now listen to me, and I'm done, I'll quit. Every one of us have a ministry. Every one of us have a family. And every one of us live in this society. And all of us, our homes, our ministries, our society, every one of us have things that's messed up. Amen? Every one of us have some things in our life that's messed up that need to be fixed. Where are we going to get the help to fix those, Brother Bill? We're going to get them at the house of God, the Word of God, and on our knees praying to God, asking the Lord to help us to get out of this mess that we call life. Amen. The only way to do that today is realize that I've got a mess in my family. There's some things that need to be straightened out. Lord, I've got a mess in my ministry, things that I need to do better. God, there's a mess in this society I live, my relationship, the people around me, God, that need to be fixed. The only way to get them fixed is come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, here I am. God, I realize today that it's a mess. There's some things that are a mess in my life. And God, I want you to help me fix those.